In fact, the aim is to replace the regime of Yanukovych with one that will distance itself from Russia, subordinate itself to the European Union, and impose brutal austerity policies on the Ukrainian working class. Departing from the text, now, one of the things they say about Yanukovych is that he is terribly, terribly corrupt. For example, he's been giving tens of billions every month to the same banksters who ripped off the mortgage industry and crashed the economy. Oh, wait, that's Obama. Sorry, I got the wrong corrupt leader. So returning to what WSWS.org, this is also the aim of the opposition led by Klitschko, Yatsenyuk, and Oleh Tyanibok, whose Svoboda Party, remember that one. That was that of those unfamiliar words in English, Svoboda is the one to remember. Svoboda Party means freedom. Sure it does. Openly celebrates the Nazi collaborator Stepan Bandera and espouses anti-Semitism and racism. More on that in a minute. Oh, hell yeah. They espouse anti-Semitism, not just a little bit. The battle for Ukraine, writes WSWS.org, is part of efforts by the U.S. and the European powers to incorporate all of Eastern Europe into their sphere of influence and isolate Russia. This process began with the restoration of capitalism, continued with the incorporation of former Eastern Bloc countries and the Baltic states into NATO and the European Union, and is now to be extended to large parts of the former Soviet Union. Ukraine, with its network of energy pipelines. Did someone say oil? Someone say gas? Strategically important military bases and heavy industry is a major target of European and American imperialism. On two occasions in the last century, in 1918 and 1941, German imperialism invaded Ukraine. In World War II, Hitler's armies massacred millions of Ukrainians. And some Ukrainians still like it. As articles in Counterpunch have pointed out, I made up that last sentence. That was not in the text from the World Socialist, but you know, it's kind of a strange thing, but it's true. But anyway, as articles in Counterpunch have pointed out, this is not the first time the U.S. has aligned with death squads to further its imperial aims. And speaking for myself here in the U.S., we are encouraged to think fondly on the anti-Russian street troops, anti-Ukraine street troops, as if they were manifestations of Occupy Wall Street, but they are nothing like those peaceful protesters. Quoting WSWS.org again, following the failure of the Ukrainian opposition and its Western supporters to overthrow President Viktor Yanukovych by means of demonstrations and replace his regime with an EU-friendly government, armed fascist gangs are being mobilized to achieve the same aim, end quote. I said games, I guess that was a Freudian slip. As I mentioned before, I am fond of Freudian slips, especially the ones with pink lace, and this one, I suppose, refers to the Great Game, which seems to be on again. Look up the Great Game in Afghanistan and, you know, history generally. It's just loads of fun. Anyway, quoting again, on Tuesday, Kyiv witnessed the bloodiest clashes since protests began 3 months ago. 26 people, including several policemen, were killed and 1,000 were injured when gangs armed with paving stones, guns, and firebombs engaged in violent street battles with government security forces. Even Western media outlets, which have propagandized in support of the opposition, could not entirely ignore the role of ultra-right forces in the violent protests. The Financial Times reported, quote, some demonstrators wearing camouflage clothing, military helmets, and bulletproof vests responded with what appeared to be handguns, end quote. The same newspaper wrote, Right Sector, one of the most militarized protest groups, urged citizens with guns to join the encampment. So when you hear President Obama, speaking here for myself, talk about how Ukraine needs to be restrained towards peaceful protesters, just remember that Ukraine would really have to go out of its way to find some peaceful protesters right now. And there were some at first, actually. There were reasons, perfectly good reasons, to protest Yanukovych government. He at least got in power with an election, as opposed to a gang of thugs that is supported by at most 7% of the population. Quoting WSWS.org again, German news channel N24 reported that the radicals of Right Sector have hijacked the protest movement, noting that the group consists of supporters of ultra-right organizations within the country, Svoboda. It added, With their faces hidden behind masks or helmets, they attract the police in Kiev with batons and iron bars. These aren't short iron bars, by the way. I guess I'm just going to say that I'm going to go back and forth with the text here rather than saying every time I start popping off about something in the text, this is me speaking. This is me thinking, and you should see those iron bars. I'll pull up Al Jazeera and look at the photographs. Look at those sticks. And ask yourself again, what would American police do? Anyway, the U.S. and German governments are supporting these paramilitary neo-fascist groups in order to increase pressure on Yanukovych and his government. The Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung expressed this bluntly. It no longer matters, they said, if it was radical opponents of the regime or the security forces who first resorted to violence on Tuesday. Now only one thing can help, the rapid resignation of Yanukovych. On Monday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel warmly received Ukrainian opposition leaders Arseniy Yatsenyuk and Vitaly Klitschko, but turned down their call for sanctions after the bloody riots in Kiev. She reversed herself and expressed support for sanctions against the Yanukovych government. In a joint appearance with the French President François Hollande, she denounced the security forces in Ukraine for brutality. Similar comment, and boy, are they brutal. I printed that part as, for irony. And, things are changing. And there's been all kinds of sniper shooting today. Unless it's propaganda, it's hard to say. But there is one thing I would like to emphasize is not propaganda, and that is that this is not a nonviolent protest movement. The Svoboda movement, as currently the vanguard of the Maidan movement, does not deserve the support of the U.S. left or the support of anyone. They love the SS. They love the Sieg Heil. And that's not just putting them down. They love it. When will the last Nazi be dead? I'd like to be able to mark that on a calendar somewhere. I remember that we actually got a Nazi here for a police captain. Anyone remember that? Nazi police captain, not just calling him a Nazi, not just saying he slid way to the right. Oh no, he would put on a Nazi uniform. I remember the 99 May Day. Oh my God. He attacked it with pincer movements because he's a Nazi. Where are they hiding? Anyway, this is Press Watch on KBOO. KBOO.fm, KBOO Portland, 90.7 in the Portland metro area, other frequencies elsewhere. I'd like to thank those of you who enthusiastically supported our winter membership drive. We did great. We had some numbers that didn't match other numbers, but then when we matched other numbers with those numbers, we discovered we did great. So that's the final on that. And I expect the KBOO listenership to come through every time, but it's beautiful every time. And we have a lot of work to do. This is a pretty invisible radio station. Ask yourself, what can you do to make this more visible? This is important because if you believe in the power of non-propagandized news, if you believe in the power of dissenting opinion in a society and you would like to see the introduction of democracy into the United States, then you support KBOO, whether you recently send us money or not. And other people need to know about it. Other people want to know about it. So, what I'm doing here is an each one reach one, but that's a catchphrase now and easy to dismiss. So I want to make an appeal to you personally to actually find a couple of people who you think would like to know about KBOO Radio and let them know that it exists. And hopefully we will get more visible soon. The number to call if you have comments or questions, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. I'm going to talk about U.S. CIA-style imperialism, because this is what we're seeing here in Ukraine is a classic. I mean, go back to 1954. Go back to Guatemala City. This is a pattern which has been polished up for many, many years. And I'll go into some more details on that in just a moment. But again, quoting the world socialists, Barack Obama said there will be consequences if people cross a line. And with that kind of talk, he has made things much worse. Democracy Now! Did a pretty good report on this. You can get that at democracynow.org right now. Now, with that in mind, consider this report from Time Magazine, which accompanies a photo of what their reporter characterizes as protesters decked out in camouflage, helmets, masks, and musculature. These guys are huge. This is more commonly seen on draft horses. Go look at that picture. Time Magazine. Anyway, by mid-morning in Kiev, they write, the bodies of dead Ukrainians were piled up in two crooked rows. At the edge of Independence Square, the protest camp known as the Maidan, which now resembles a war zone. Only the previous night, President Viktor Yanukovych had called a truce in the fighting that had taken dozens of lives earlier this week, but before the night was over, the death toll had climbed at least by another 20 amid renewed clashes. The truce was off. As the sun rose, Time Magazine writes, it became all too apparent that lethal weapons, not merely stun grenades, rocks, and Molotov cocktails, but rifles and pistols had entered the fray on both sides. The conflict appeared to be spiraling towards a civil war. As deadly clashes, I want to re-say that. Their English was better than that. They did not say towards, I did. Spiraling toward a civil war there, that's cleaner. As deadly clashes between armed protesters and police were also reported in at least three other cities, both sides blamed each other for the escalations. Protesters broke the truce, the president said in a statement posted on his website. The opposition used the negotiation period to mobilize and get weapons to protesters. Around the Maidan protest area in Kiev, Time saw groups of masked and helmeted self-defense units searching the surrounding buildings for snipers, whom they blamed for most of the dead bodies that had been loaded into waiting ambulances. Some of the revolutionaries were armed up with their usual clubs, with rifles and pistols, which they had used to fire at retreating lines of police through the morning. As the lines of riot troops pulled back, protesters reoccupied the government buildings that they had lost to the police in the last round of violent clashes on Tuesday. The police appeared to be regrouping around the square by the afternoon, and the conflict looked set for more street-to-street fighting as evening approached. For both sides, one thing was clear, the fragile ceasefire was off. That's in the end of the quote from Time Magazine. Now I want to lay a little bit of information on you about Svoboda, the anti-Semitic thugs who are behind this protest. Known for its racist and anti-Semitic views, several complaints were filed against its leader, Oleg Tyagnybok, for his anti-Semitic comments. That's from Jerusalem Post. Jerusalem Post, 30th of October in 2012, wrote, Tyagnybok claimed that Ukraine is being controlled by a Russian Jewish mafia. The party's platform also includes support for the rehabilitation of Ukrainian nationalists who collaborated with Nazi Germany. Members of the party also took in anti-Semitic incidents, such as damaging synagogues, Jewish centers, and cemeteries. The party is also active against the coming of Jewish religious pilgrims to Amman, U-M-A-N, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, in the previous election. The party received only about 1% of the votes, and now about 7%. So we can see that their influence is growing. That's a quote from a Mr. Or a Ms. Kantorovich, who also said, it is too early to determine, this is the ironic part, whether this will have any effect on Jewish life in Ukraine and on the number of anti-Semitic incidents in the country. Svoboda, founded in 2004, was previously named the Social National Party of Ukraine. Speaking with a post from Ukraine, Vyacheslav Likhachev, an expert at the Eurasian Jewish Congress, said that the party has very anti-Semitic core in its ideology. An understatement, if anything, if you ask me. And a prediction from years of watching U.S. imperial pseudo-populism, from the overthrow of Gustavo Arbenz to the overthrow of Mossadegh to the Monoblanco Death Squad Party, U.S.-supplied weapons will now magically appear in the hands of the fascists, except that they won't be, you know, they won't be U.S.-supplied directly weapons. They will just magically appear, and someone will have paid them, and we don't know who they will be. And then 40 years from now, we'll know exactly how it was done. But I can tell you right now that this is U.S. imperialism. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Tom's on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Hey, I just have to wonder, when they listen to the these little crocodile tears being shed, you know, for the innocent people, handful of people dead in the streets, and these heartful pleas for the will of the people. I wonder if, coming from the State Department and the Obama administration, I wonder where this was a year or so ago when the U.S.-backed non-elected despotism in Bahrain was entering the streets with loaded shotguns and blasting peaceful demonstrators. How many of those went to the hospital? Was there a call for the White House that the non-elected little fiefdom and princes was to be deposed? Interesting. And how about when they went out and rounded up the doctors who actually treated wounded people and threw them in jail for 10 or 15 years?
Oh, I'm sure the Obama administration is terribly sincere about this, and that's why they've decided to withdraw all of their drones from blasting people to smithereens and prowling around the skies, scaring the hell out of the entire population in the east of Pakistan, and they're going to pay billions in war reparations as well, too, and say, I'm sorry, is what Obama will say.
Yeah, we wouldn't have any reeking hypocrisy or glaring double standards that would be visible to anyone outside of the world, outside of the umbrella of the mainstream U.S. media, would we? And, you know, and I don't suppose we'd have to worry when we look back to the few years ago in Honduras, where the popular elected president, Manuel Zelaya, was ousted by a pro-corporate military junta, and then Hillary Clinton, that's right, the next pro-corporate marionette that's likely to be trotted out as the Democrats' people's candidate for president. I don't suppose that when Mr. Manuel Zelaya was pushed out at gunpoint, there were cries for democracy. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, can anyone really listen to this stuff without just either throwing up or just laughing them out of the room? It just shows how incredibly Orwellian the mind control is, not only of the uneducated in the United States, but also of the educated classes who are just as much the recipients of this sort of ridiculous and hypocritical propaganda that attempts to claim that the United States' primary agenda is democracy promulgation. What a farce! And thank you, Teresa, for being so bold as to bring forward some of these more inconvenient truths, as Al Gore would say. Thank you.
Well, thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187. It gets worse because, well, speaking of imperialism, maybe you read that U.S. troops from Oregon are being sent out to Afghanistan. And, it kind of raises the question, who wants to be the last person to die in Afghanistan? The Afghans rather resent being invaded. We have more than 100 years of history, much more, to show us that. They don't enjoy being the pawn in the great game. And although it's possible to rush in there in full force, it's often quite difficult to withdraw in the same manner. You might want to ask the British in their famous withdrawal from Kabul. It was an armed withdrawal. They were quite organized. They left Kabul. One survived. Actually, more than one survived. One returned to base. And a handful of others survived, including some kids who were next encountered when they were 60 years old. And I applaud the Afghans for doing that. You invade my country, you'll get the same treatment. I certainly hope that my fellow Americans feel the same way. That's considered a basic right and is guaranteed by the UN Charter. Defend your country. Really defend your country, as opposed to saying you're defend your country and go with a group of imperialists to a foreign country and shoot up people who don't have nearly the weaponry that you do. I mean, that's one of the really grotesque things about drones, isn't it? They're not even jet aircraft. If the U.S. were to try to bomb an actually wealthy and industrially advanced country, let's say Russia, well, of course, there would be the problem of nuclear warfare. But let's take that off the table and say, what else might happen? Why, our fastest jet fighters would be easily shot down. And our drones, jets? No, they're prop aircraft. And that's because the people they're shooting at are just peasants who can't reach as high as the drone with their AK-47s that they found in the sand from the last war. I mean, it's, The word cowardly comes to mind. Speaking of fascist U.S. imperialism, Venezuela is again under attack by U.S.-supported corporate media and their in-house street thugs. The U.S. budget for 2014 includes $5 million for opposition groups in Venezuela, plus what they give in private, and that's according to journalist Eva Golinger, citing U.S. government documents. Al Jazeera editorial published in VenezuelaAnalysis.com says, in part, 5 days after violent anti-government incitement in Venezuela led to the deaths of three people, the U.S. State Department issued a press statement declaring the allegations by President Nicolas Maduro that the United States is helping to organize protesters is baseless and false. We support human rights and fundamental freedoms, including freedom of expression and peaceful assembly in Venezuela, as we do in countries around the world, the State Department said, without laughing. Number to call 503-231-8187 and Jack's on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to what Tom said there, and it's just to lengthen his list a little bit. They did this; they're doing the same thing in Syria, and the same thing they did in Libya. And thank goodness Democracy Now! Is finally getting people on the air who can talk about this honestly. I tell you, I almost chucked up a couple of times when I heard Juan Cole shilling for the NATO position. When they were setting up that whole ginned up thing in Libya. But anyway, that's it. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, thanks for your call. Much more on that, worth pulling up Al Jazeera English to read the story by the opinion piece by Belen Fernandez, who writes, of course, U.S. commitment to such freedoms is called into question by its own operating procedures, which have included police beatings of peaceful protesters and the incarceration and torture of whistleblower Chelsea Manning. Maduro might, meanwhile, that's Venezuelan President Maduro, might meanwhile be forgiven for associating the U.S. with efforts to overthrow the Venezuelan government, given said country's ultimate involvement in the 2002 coup d'etat against Maduro's predecessor, the late Hugo Chavez, not to mention its general history of fomenting opposition to less than obsequious Latin American regimes. Nice phrase there, less than obsequious is exactly correct. Anyone who stands up for national sovereignty, and especially, and this is speaking for myself, anyone who distributes the wealth even a little bit, and that's exactly what the Venezuelan government has done, reversing the collapse of the economy under pure capitalism, under the U.S. puppets, and providing a 2.5% annual growth rate. Oh boy, does that piss off the rulers of the United States. I mean, if there's one thing they hate, it's when democracy breaks out. Number to call 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. 8187 clashes underway since early this morning in Kyiv's Independence Square. So far, more than 21 protesters are believed to have been killed, according to a Reuters photographer who counted bodies in the square. The Telegraph in Britain, correspondents on the ground, Roland Oliphant and David Blair, have seen 10 bodies laid out on the pavement, a number of which displayed a single bullet wound to the head. Protesters believe the victims have been killed by sniper attacks. The clashes shattered a truce that Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych called with the opposition hours earlier, following a spurt of violence that killed more than 2 dozen people in less than 2 days. The demonstrators managed to push police forces back some 200 meters to retake control of the entire square, which anti-government protesters have occupied since November. Now, what this article does not say is that they are also pushing towards parliament, since, as I was saying, they represent at a maximum 70% of the population. They don't like democracy anyway. And they intend to impose rule by force, which they have a good chance of doing since, as I was saying before also, weapons are magically appearing in their hands. Now, returning to Venezuela and the comments from Belen Fernandez, George Citarella Mar, a professor at Drexel University and author of We Created Chavez, A People's History of the Venezuelan Revolution, remarked yesterday, actually a few days ago, that although there's no reason to think that the U.S. is directly involved in organizing or calling these protests, we need to bear in mind that it continues to fund the very same opposition groups that have participated in violent anti-democratic actions before and that continue to do so, end quote. And I would say that's a very moderate statement. I think anyone who actually reads Latin American history does have reason to think that the U.S. is directly involved in organizing or calling those protests. Well, okay, indirectly, but not very. Well, you've been listening to Press Watch, and I want you to stay tuned because coming up on KBOO is more of the People's Radio, and that certainly includes Per Fogring, who's outside the door to Studio 2 right now, and so you know that you're going to get some more People's Radio on KBOO Portland and all the ships at sea.
is proud to co-sponsor the 24th annual Cascades Festival of African Films. Over 20 African films will be screened between January 31st and March 1st, 2014. Thursdays through Saturdays at Portland Community College, Cascade Campus, and Hollywood Theater. The films celebrate African achievements, expose Africa's failures, and reveal the possibilities for change and a more hopeful future. The majority of films were made by African directors and show us pictures of Africa through the eyes of Africans rather than a vision of Africa that is packaged primarily for Western viewers. That's the 24th annual Cascade Festival of African Films at the Portland Community College Cascade Campus and Hollywood Theater from January 31st through March 1st, 2014. More information can be found at the right-hand side of KBOO.FM under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host an open house to say goodbye to our interim station manager, Victoria Stoppiello,
and to welcome our new co-managers, Monica Beamer and Mike Crenshaw.
Please come to KBOO on March 1st between noon and 4 p.m. for greeting and meeting, snacks, tours, and a general celebration of the start of our 46th year broadcasting.
KBOO is located at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, a half block south of Burnside in Portland.
Again, this March 1st, noon to 4, here at your community radio station, KBOO. More information can be found at kboo.fm.
Well, good morning. This is Per Fograng, episode 118 of Fight the Empire. And my guest today is Norman Solomon, author and activist, former KBOO volunteer. Has written a lot of books. One, Make Love, Got War. That was one that I remember. And then War Made Easy. And he's got some really interesting articles about the CIA and Amazon. So Norman Solomon, welcome to KBOO again.
Hi, Terrence. Pleasure.
Hey, it's good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Before we do anything, I got a vent about NPR this morning. You know, they were talking about, you know, Ukraine and everything, and they had their reporter there in Kiev who used to cover Egypt, and she sort of interviewed all the, you know, people in the streets. And then the host, Steve Inskeep, said, now we're going to have a view from Moscow. And they went to some lady from the Carnegie Institute or something. Gave this kind of garbled interpretation, very bad phone connection and everything like that. And it was, anyway, having said that.
Well, you know, public broadcasting is really, you know, a misnomer in so many ways, as we know, NPR and PBS. I will vent, meanwhile, as your guest. Last night on the PBS NewsHour, it was Back to the Future, the sort of Cold War mentality of a guest who spoke about Venezuela.
Oh, my.
And here you had the PBS NewsHour interviewing one guest, count them, one guest talking about Venezuela. It was somebody from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And it was all about how the Venezuelan government is terrible and the opposition is wonderful. And the host just simply asked, not softball questions, Per. I wouldn't want you to think they were softball questions. They were beach ball questions. And so, you know, it's just as though we had had an interview about the demonstrations against the Popular Unity government in Chile in early 1973, or we had an interview with how the Contras are so good in Nicaragua in the 1980s, and how terrible the Sandinista government was. Forget any debate, forget any sort of skepticism about the U.S. government lying. So that is a problem, and needless to say, all the more reason why people need to support KABU for a different kind of public radio.
Well, I finally heard some good coverage of Ukraine on Democracy Now! This morning, and then Teresa's show just now. But this time, we're going to talk about the CIA and their partners in crime. And it's very interesting. The CIA, they've targeted some unknown American. As far as I know, they haven't said who it is. And I think even the memo is secret that justifies this. Is that correct?
Well, I think you're talking about the unnamed American, understood to be probably in Pakistan.
Yeah.
We're told by the New York Times in the last week is being considered for killing by the President of the United States, whether to put this U.S. citizen on a kill list. And I don't know, Per, I used to think that I was a radical. Now I think I'm a traditionalist in that if you read the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, it talks about due process. Just as if you look at the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, it talks about unreasonable search and seizure not being allowed without a specific warrant. And those of us who believe in the civil liberties enshrined in the Constitution, and particularly the First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments, we haven't changed. What has shifted is the willingness of so many people.